Good morning and welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton here with you. As you've already been told, our service times are 9:45 in Sunday school, 11 o'clock in the morning service, 6 o'clock in the evening service, and on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Youth time for the teenagers, Sunday at 10 o'clock. For the younger group, I think it's 5 to 12, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. We are located, let me just give you this here part. We are located on the east side of the road as you come into town. No matter which way you come in, from the north or the south, you can find us. Big white sign in the middle of the parking lot says it's Bible Baptist Church. You're welcome to come fellowship with us. You never know. Maybe this will be the place. Maybe it won't. Second part of the sermon, are you saved today? And good question. And I know that probably somebody thinks, well, I don't think you need to ask that question. Well, I found out over my 47 years in the ministry here that we've had people who thought they were saved because they signed a card or went to dedication or something. Sinners Saved by Grace, our song, Marion Avenue Boys. Let's listen to the song and then right into the message. Thank you for joining us.
If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. I've ever seen or done, how could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Forgiven, back with
Jesus Christ paid for your salvation. I promise you right now that if somebody walked into your house tomorrow, drove up there with a Lamborghini, what do them things cost, Lamborghini? About $75,000? How much, Donnie? $285,000. Donnie's looking at him. This is his next birthday present. Okay, he's going to have a different set of parents when that happens, but yeah. $285,000, is that what you said, Donnie? $285,000. Anybody in here made that much last year? I'm the only one, okay, as a preacher. I'm the only one. $285,000 just for a car. And suppose they drove up into your driveway there, Brother Chad, and walked up and knocked on your door. And you came to the door, they said, here's the keys, there's your new car, I'm giving it to you. Would you say, nah, I don't think I want it. Why, you just your mouth would drop open, all the flies in Ogemaw County would fly in. And you know what? If that person watched you long enough, you know what they'd soon realize? They'd probably soon realize that you don't really appreciate that vehicle as much as they do because they paid the $285,000 for it. Every parent in this room has had the opportunity to say to one of your children, do you know what that cost me? Why? Because they were just enjoying it. They didn't really care if the bicycle laid out here. I've driven down the road here today and I see in one of my neighbor's yard, a bicycle has been laying there since September. And it's still laying out there in the snow. I don't even know if the kid knows it's there. Don't think he cares. But somebody paid some money for that bicycle. But he didn't. And you know, God paid this morning a great price. You are bought with a great price. You know what we do with most of it? We go, hey, I'm going to heaven, so big deal. Romans 5. Romans 5. You know what this evangelist told that preacher? He said, brother, if she's saved, it's not Bible salvation. Why? Bible salvation, you can't just do whatever you want. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong, friend. You say, well, you tell me just because I do. No, I'm not telling you anything. If it's bothering you, didn't get the thing right. You see, if sin, if you're sinning and my preaching bothers you, then that tells you the Holy Ghost of God is bothering you and you need to get the thing right. I didn't say you didn't sin when you got saved. I said, well, if you can be saved and sin and it not bother you and you just go and live your own, something's wrong. Because that's not the same Holy Ghost I got inside me. The old Indian said, he knew what the Holy Ghost was. He said it was that triangle, and every time he did something wrong, it just angled up on 3 points and poked him. Now, you know as well as I do today, listen to me, I am confident that perhaps in our church there are young people who've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ or have been saved. Well, who you think you are? I think I'm the preacher, and I'm supposed to have a concern for the souls of people, and I have a concern for people. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. So I'm just trying to show you the death of God's Son was the price of your salvation. Don't you appreciate that? Okay. Don't you think we ought to live like we appreciate it? Don't you think if it cost him, it ought to cost us? You know what we're afraid of? We're afraid this morning that it's going to cost us something if we stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're afraid that somebody's going to be bothered by it. We're afraid at work they're going to say something about it. We're afraid we might lose our job. Maybe we'll lose our status. We're afraid of something, so therefore we just go on and live like the rest of the world because after all, if I'm saved and going to heaven, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. I'll show you how that works. Turn to 1 Peter. Now, I'm going to tell you what. We said in Sunday school class this morning, you know what Paul did? When people wouldn't live right. He just got down to prayer meeting somewhere and said, Lord, they're not going to live right. Turn them over to Satan. Let Satan have them. I'm not telling you this morning that you couldn't be saved and do wrong. I'm just saying if you're saved and doing wrong and it doesn't bother you, are you saved? You say, well, what if my conscience is seared? Then, buddy, I'd be worried. You see what's all this whole thing has got down here like, well, their conscience is seared, so what? Hey, isn't there something wrong here? Come on, folks. Are we just going to... I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to die here. I'm not ready to take a back seat and say, well, every other church is going, we might as well go. Not me. Now, if you want to do that, that's you. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in seeing God do something. I'm interested in seeing people get saved and start serving God. I'm interested in seeing myself change. How about you? Now, he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even here in 2 were you called. Seems to me I read about calling over there in Timothy. Huh? Had a holy calling, huh? Can you help me here a little bit? Could I get an amen here? For even here in 2 were you called, because Christ also... And then he left us this example. Look over here in verse chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once the just for the what? That's you. The just, that's him. The unjust, that's you. Get yourself in the right word there, okay? That he might bring us to God being put to death. That's the price of your salvation. You realize somebody suffered and died and bled so that you can enjoy what you enjoy today? Do you realize that? So you know what's wrong with American youth? You know what's wrong with the last generation of Americans? You don't appreciate the blood that's been shed so that you can sit in this church this morning so you can carry a Bible. You don't appreciate. Say, will you agree with the president? It's not a matter of agreement. It's a matter of principle here. Okay, not a matter of agreement. No, I don't agree with the president. I don't even agree with my wife. And neither do you. You say, we always get along. Then you never say anything. Okay? I know I'm right most of the time because she tells me. Now listen to me, friend. I'm going to tell you something this morning. What's wrong with this? We have forgotten the price that's been paid for our salvation, and we just take it light, like, oh, I'm saved and going to heaven. You know, whether I don't matter whether I do this or whether I do that. Oh, yes, it does matter. 100% matters. Why? Because he left you an example of how you should live. And he expects you to follow in that. He didn't say follow the preacher. He didn't say follow the deacon. He didn't say follow the Sunday school teacher. He didn't say follow half the people in church. He said follow me. When he called the disciples, he didn't say, gentlemen, I want you to follow me, but first of all, I think you should study Buddha. He didn't say, I want you to follow me, but I think first of all, you need to study some Confucius. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Why is it that we think we need everything else but him? Why is it that Christians will put their time into television? You'll put your time into sports. You'll put your time there, but except into church. Except into soul winning. Except into passing out tracts. Except in anything. Why? Because you really don't think the price paid for your salvation is worth the effort. Plain and simple, isn't it? Plain and simple. You say, what? That's kind of bold. No, it's just kind of truthy. So that's not a word. That's okay. Neither are some of the things you do. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. We're talking about salvation this morning. Are you sure you're saved? Verse 8. You know these verses. I'm not giving you anything. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me say secondly, now that you know what your salvation costs, what was it that saved you? Okay? It wasn't. First of all, let me discuss what it wasn't. Let's turn to Titus a minute. Let's discuss what it wasn't. Can't believe the people today who think they're saved because they drank something, ate something, smelled something, went somewhere. Titus 3, Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And you can read the rest of the verse. First of all, it wasn't anything you've done. So I remember praying. It wasn't the prayer. There ain't a prayer in this book that can save you. Why? Prayers don't save people. You say, what do you pray for? That's just words you're speaking to God. You read your Bible, it's in the heart. When a man believes, when he believes, when he believes, and he believes, he believes. Has anything to do with words you say? It's not your baptism, you know that. It's not a Christian home. That's why I think some of you young people better check up. You think just because you come from a Christian home, you're saved. Wrong. You can go to hell just like anybody else. So will I go to a Christian school? So what? Attend a Christian school and go to hell. So I attend church regularly. It doesn't matter. You can go to hell right here in the church pew. Yeah. Salvation. Just because mom and daddy saved don't make you saved. Just because you wear the right clothes on Sunday. You've got it in your mind. It's something you've done. It's not anything you've did. Jesus already did what needs to be done. What you have to do is believe in what He did. That's Bible. That's not Paul. That's Bible. Well, it is Paul, but not this one. Okay? Get it in your head. It's not something you've done. Some of you won't listen. Some of you are just going through life. It's convenient for you. You're enjoying it. And you've got all the surroundings that make you look good. But I question salvation when it doesn't bring any conviction. Salvation needs to bring conviction. You got to be bothered by things. David, you know what David was bothered by? He was bothered by how the wicked treated God's word. He was bothered how the wicked lived in this world. It bothered him. And some of you join them. I know people today that are Christians. They spent last night in the bar. They think it's all right. And if you say anything, you're being judgmental. Well, what about so-and-so that does this? I don't care what anybody else does. What anybody else does doesn't have anything to do with whether I'm saved or not.
Amen.
See, we've gotten this old game in the Baptist now that we just find fault with somebody else, so therefore whatever I do is okay because whatever they're doing, you know, after all, they're not perfect. What's that have to do with anything?
Amen.
Jesus was perfect. Amen. And your salvation is based upon what He did, not what you're doing. So I know a Christian that smokes. So? So I know one that chews. So? So I know one that drinks. So? Are you saved? That's what I'm asking you. I don't care what anybody else is doing. Oh, yes, I do care, but don't misunderstand me. Don't you base your salvation on what they're doing. Just because you don't do it doesn't make you saved. Well, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't cuss and I don't run with those that do. Then you must have a pretty small crowd of people you hang around. I'm simply saying, listen to me. That doesn't make you saved. Don't say, well, all the young people I hang around with, that doesn't make you saved. If you can pinpoint a time in your life where you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you are not saved according to this book, not according to this preacher. Romans 4. Verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness. And those last two words are very important. Without what? Nobody in this room who is saved and born again and on your way to heaven today got it by doing anything at all except believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Shaking hands with a preacher, signing your name on a card, going to the altar, kneeling somewhere did not save you. Didn't even come close to it. As a matter of fact, what it did probably made you twofold more a child of hell than you were before you went out there. Because now you think you're saved, nobody's going to do anything to convince you otherwise unless the Spirit of God can get a hold of you and do something. You say, preacher, are you picking on me? I don't really have any names up here, but you're here today. So somebody must have known you need this. See, all the folks that aren't here didn't need it. just turn to John 3 a minute here. Let me just give you, I could give you a dozen verses, but I'm not going to do that for time's sake. I'm just going to give you verses you already know. Verse 15, chapter 3. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide in him. Is that clear? Three verses, I could give you a dozen more, will not do that. Is it clear? It has nothing to do with what you do except one thing, believe. It has anything to do with anything you do. Where you go to church, what kind of clothes you wear, if your hair is too short, too long, or you don't have any, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with your last name, your first name, your middle name, your mama's name, your daddy's name, what your daddy does, what your mama does, what your grandfather did, what your grandmother does or doesn't do. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Righteousness was imputed to you because God gave it to you when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has anything to do with what you did or are currently doing. Because you can look across the church or look across the road or look across the town and see somebody who says they're saved and they're living a wicked life and you're not, doesn't make you any more righteous. Except maybe in your own eyes. Our text, verse 9, our text said we're called to a holy calling. What happened at your salvation? What that verse indicates to me is that when you got saved, you weren't saved to do what you want. You weren't saved to do what you want. Now, you pay attention to me. She'll take care of the baby. That'll be fine, okay? The devil just don't want you to pay attention. When you got saved, the moment you got saved, God gave you a calling, and that calling was holy, okay? It was a holy calling. Holy. Holy. The angels in heaven stand around the throne of God and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You know what holy is? Holy is in reference to God. That's why holy cow and holy gee and all that kind of stuff is wrong kind of language for a Christian to be using. Because there's only one person attributed to being holy. Outside of this book on this earth, there's nothing else holy. That's it. Holy. That's what he said. He's called you into a holy calling. When you got saved, he didn't call you to live the life you wanted to live. He called you to a holy calling. Could I get an amen or something, anything? I don't care. Throw a tomato at me. Do something. And yet we have people get saved today and just do whatever they want to do. And then when you talk to them about being saved, "Well, I'm saved just because I don't live like you don't." That don't have anything to do with it. This book says that when he called you, when he saved you, he called you to a holy calling. That has anything to do with preaching. That has anything to do with going to the mission field. It just has to do with living right. Boy, nobody likes that.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.